Oui, comment? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace, love, and mercies. Thank you for your power that is working in us, fulfilling your will in our lives. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your strength that is upholding us, helping us to do what is right in your sight. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives and situations. Thank you, Lord, for moving us forward on every side. We thank you for all that you did for us last year. We thank you for the healings and deliverances that you did in our lives, even through this program last year. We thank you because in this new year, you're going to do greater works, greater miracles, greater healings in our lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your love for us. That is steadfast. Thank you for your love for us. That is unfailing. That is everlasting. Thank you because you have determined to help us every time we call upon you for help. Thank you, Father, because you have positioned yourself in our lives to always answer our prayers. We thank you because you have positioned yourself in this ministry. Always fight for us and defend us. Thank you, Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We are here this morning to learn from you and also to receive healing and to pray. Lord, we ask that you meet us at the point of our need. In Jesus' name. We ask, O Lord, that everyone who will join this meeting shall not go back empty-handed. In Jesus' name. I ask that everyone on the platform of this meeting shall have great testimony. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know you're going to do more than our requests. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. And I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. Yeah, as we always do, we're going to, first of all, listen to some teachings. And after that, we will pray. Today, we're going to be looking at a topic. The topic says, understanding Jesus in Isaiah 53. That is the topic. Understanding Jesus in Isaiah 53. That portion of the Bible revealed a lot about Jesus. That book, chapter Isaiah 53. Revealed so much about Jesus. So we're going to be learning about all that the book of Isaiah 53 revealed about Jesus. We're going to start from so well new until we are done with the entire verses in Isaiah 53. So, which means we're going to have series of teachings coming from this particular book in the Bible, which means that this teaching is going to have many parts. So you can consider today's teaching as the part one. Yeah, so as I said, we're going to, the topic is understanding Jesus in Isaiah 53. Understanding Jesus in Isaiah 53. So let's look at that Isaiah 53. Open your Bibles to that place. Isaiah 53. I'm going to quickly read all the verses in this book. Our report. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, nor do we heed to seek away our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before a shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Praise the Lord. So, as I say, we are looking at a topic that says understanding Jesus in Isaiah 53. Yeah, there are 4 points. I'm going to move to point number one. We hope you have your writing materials and you are taking notes. Point number one. Jesus, a great stumbling block. That's point number one. Jesus, a great stumbling block. A great stumbling block. So we're going to read Isaiah 53, verse 1 and verse 2. I'm reading it again. Who had believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Jesus, a great stumbling block. You know, the entire chapter of chapter 53 of Isaiah was talking about Jesus. All of those verses there, from verse 1 to 12, they were all talking about Jesus. So, and I think you should be excited to study a book or a chapter in the Bible that talks all about Jesus. So I think you should be excited to study that chapter in depth, because everything is all about Jesus. Yeah, so that is why I was so excited when the Lord says we need to learn about this particular portion of the Bible, Isaiah 53. Yeah, I'm so excited because it talks about Jesus from the beginning to the end. Everything in this chapter is all about Jesus. Yeah. It will be revealing things that you probably have not seen in this chapter before, and things that you probably have not heard anyone preach about in a while. It's not that people don't preach from this chapter of the Bible. The things I'm going to bring out from this chapter are things people don't preach often. Yeah. Perhaps people have stopped preaching such kind of sermons and messages. Now, I said Jesus, a great stumbling block. Jesus, a great stumbling block. Now you might be asking, how is Jesus a stumbling block? Is that even in the Bible? Does the Bible really present Jesus as a stumbling block? Yeah, I'm going to show you in the Bible where Jesus was mentioned as a stumbling block. Yeah, I'll show you in the Bible. Now, what is a stumbling block? Just as the name implies, stumbling block. Yeah, it's a block that is strategically positioned, yeah, on the way, in such a way that if you're not careful, you will hit on that block and you will fall. Yeah. It's similar to the bombs that used to be on the road. Yeah. There used to be bombs on the road. And when a car is coming from afar and saw the bombs, the car would slow down. Yeah, the car would slow down and gently climb the bombs. Because if the car did not slow down and just move with speed, with the same speed, it has been moving, the car is going to stumble once it encounters the bombs. So Jesus is also like that. Jesus is exactly like that. So Jesus is a great stumbling block. Yeah, you know, many people think they think of Jesus as Savior. And of course he is a Savior. They think of him as healer, deliverer, helper. They think of Jesus as many good and beautiful things, or as a very good person, which of course he is. But many don't know that the same Jesus is also a stumbling block. Yeah, so how is Jesus a stumbling block? Now let us read that place again. In Isaiah 53. Verse 1 and verse 2. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the name of the Lord revealed? Who hath believed my report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, the first sign that Jesus is a stumbling block is in the fact that he came in a way that difficult for people to believe that he is the Messiah. Yeah, it came in a way that was difficult for people to believe that he is the Messiah. Yeah. He didn't come in a way that will be easy for people to believe that he is the one they have been waiting for. He came in a way that was difficult. So which means only those who are really connected to God, and those who have been following God in Israel at the time when he was born and when he revealed himself to Israel, only such kind of people who have really been following God with their heart would identify and believe that this is the Messiah. So that was why The prophecy in Isaiah 53 started with, "Who has believed our report? Who has believed our report?" There were millions of people in Israel during the time of Jesus, but only few believed in Jesus. Why? Because he himself made it difficult for them to believe him. Please repeat myself. There were millions of Jews in Israel during the time Jesus began his earthly ministry, but only few thousands, not many, believed him. Some believed him only to get miracles from him, but they did not believe that he, the Messiah, they didn't believe that he is the Son of God. Yeah, a lot of people got miracles from Jesus, but did not join the church. They did not, they weren't part of the church, the early church planted by the apostles. Many of them did not join the church, but they got miracles from Jesus. Yeah, in fact, many of the people that got miracles from him eventually testified against him before Pontius Pilate. And they were the ones even saying, "Crucify him, crucify him, away with that man." Some of those people shouting, "Crucify him," I've gotten one miracle or the other from Jesus when he was preaching every week. Yeah. So my point is that Jesus himself made it difficult for people to believe him. So that is the first point. Is a sign that he is a stumbling block. He refused to come in a way that everyone would believe him. He refused to come in that way. In fact, he was born in a manger. He chose to be part of a very poor family. And he chose to grow up in a very poor background. And then when he started ministry, he was not going after rich people to preach to them. He was calling illiterates to join his movement. People who don't even have formal education. People who can barely read and write. He was calling those people to follow him. Now, the prophecy said Jesus is the king. Jesus is destined to be the king of Israel. And that he is the king of Israel. That was what the prophecy said. Yeah, now, would you expect that a king would just position his ministry among poor people and have no interest in politics, have no interest in the government? Yeah. Doesn't make sense. Because if God says you are a ruler, you're going to rule, you should position yourself in places that will give you the opportunity to become that ruler. But Jesus was not doing anything like that. So the Pharisees and all the religious leaders of that time, they were expecting Jesus to follow the prophecies that way. The prophecies they had read about him, they were expecting that he will follow those prophecies to the letter and fulfill those prophecies to the letter, especially the part where he was to rule Israel and rule the world as the king of kings, as the king of the whole men. So they were expecting that part. Yeah, they were not expecting that Jesus would start from, or Jesus would be fulfilling Isaiah 53. They were not expecting that he's going to come in a lowly manner, that he's going to operate in a very humble manner. They were expecting him to exalt himself. They were expecting him to announce himself. And that was where they got it wrong. Because they did not even know that the other parts of the prophecies were not for that time. The part that says Jesus will rule Israel and rule the whole world as the king, they did not even know that that other part of the prophecy where Jesus will rule from Israel and rule all the nations of the earth physically. Of course, presently Jesus is doing that, but spiritually. But Jesus will still do that physically. So they could not even discern that that other part of the prophecy was not going to be fulfilled at that time. Yeah. So the kind of Jesus they were expecting was not the Jesus they saw. Yeah, because they were carnal. They were walking in the flesh. Yeah. So the first stumbling block that the ministry and the manifestation of Jesus to Israel did on the fact that Jesus himself made it difficult for people to believe in him. Yeah. So before anyone will really believe, they must have to humble themselves. Yeah, because it was not, Jesus was not going to places where rich people, influential people would have the opportunity to hear the gospel from his mouth. Jesus was going into remote places, wilderness, going into villages. So those rich people, they have to leave their cities that they have, and they have to come down to villages, to wilderness, yeah, to hear the gospel. I don't know if I get my point. Yeah, so Jesus was not, Jesus didn't do his ministry in a way that it will attract the proud and the rich. He did his ministry in a way that everyone have to humble themselves to receive from his ministry. And everyone has to be humble to even believe that he's the Messiah. Yeah. And that was a shock to the religious leaders in those days. Yeah. So, what can we learn from that? Because God wants us to learn a lot from Jesus in Isaiah 53. Jesus is in every verse of that chapter. Isaiah 53. So God wants us to learn the Jesus in those verses. And I've told you in this first point number one, that says Jesus as a stumbling block. Yeah, so having known Jesus as a stumbling block from that chapter, what should you do as a New Testament believer? What should you do as a New Testament Christian? How should you live your life? How should you relate with Jesus? Knowing that He is not only a Savior, a miracle worker, a healer, a deliverer, knowing that is also a stumbling block. How should you live as a Christian? Yeah, so we're going to look at other scriptures. I told you I'm going to show you other scriptures that confirmed that Jesus is a stumbling block. Yeah, let us. Open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14. Isaiah 8, verse 14. Make sure you are opening your Bibles so that you won't just come here and waste your time. So you have to learn something. Isaiah chapter 8. Verse 14. And He shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense, to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now, that being for a sanctuary for some, but then for others, it shall be a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. Amen. Let us also look at Romans chapter 9. The book of Romans chapter 9, verse 31 to 33. Romans. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, had not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. So you can see that Jesus is a stumbling stone. They stumbled at that stumbling stone. Verse 33, Romans chapter 9. I just finished reading verse 32. Now verse 33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. down. So what should you do as a New Testament Christian, knowing that Jesus is a stumbling stone? And this is what you should do. You should fear him. Release him. And then you should surrender completely to him. In full humility. Number one, you should fear him. Number two, you should believe him. Number three, you should surrender to him in full humility of heart. Surrender to him with complete humility, or in complete humility. Yeah, that is what you should do. Knowing that Jesus is a stumbling stone. Remember what Jesus himself said in John chapter 3. He said that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then he went further to say, whoever does not believe in him has been condemned already. Yeah. You see, many of us in the church today, we are making great mistakes. I have said it before. I don't know if it's on this platform or in one of our midnight prayer sessions. I've said it before that many Christians today, they have created another picture of Jesus in their head, in their brain. They are not relating with Jesus as he is. They have created a version of Jesus in their head. You get that? They have created a version of Jesus in their brain. Yeah, they are not following Jesus as he is. They are following the Jesus they have created in their head. So which means that to them, Jesus is only some few things. I mean, more like they have a paper in their brain. And all they have written in that paper is, Jesus is my this, is my healer, Jesus is my provider, Jesus is my miracle worker. So they only have, they have only created a picture of Jesus that is comfortable for them, or created a version of Jesus that is comfortable for them. So they have only created that in their brains. Yeah, so every time they come to a program, they come to meetings, they come to prayer sessions, they have come to meet that Jesus they have created in their brain. Not the real Jesus, but the one that they are comfortable with. Yeah. So those people, they have already fallen. Yeah. So you have to be careful how you walk with Jesus. Yeah. Because he's a stumbling block. He himself is not only your savior, he's also your doom. Yeah. Jesus is not only your savior. He is also your room. You know what room means? Yeah. Means he is also your downfall. And he is your condemnation. He is your judgment. And he is your destruction. I don't know if I get my point. So it's a two-edged sword. So Jesus is a two-edged sword. One point of that sword is saving people, healing people, delivering people. But then there's another part of that sword that is killing people, destroying people. Do you believe that? Yeah, because maybe all this while you have been hearing sermons, oh, Jesus is love, full of love, full of compassion. Yes, he is. But that's not all that he is. So many people will go to hell because of Jesus. In fact, many are going to hell because of Jesus. Many will die because of Jesus. Yeah, in fact, it would have been better for them if they never heard about Jesus. If they never knew Jesus. Their judgment would have been very, very little, very small. But the fact that they happened to know Jesus, they heard about Jesus, that is why their destruction will be very great and their judgment will be very great. Yeah. So Jesus is a great stumbling block and a rock of offense. And you must be careful how you walk with him. Yeah. So and many of you will not have to face great and terrible judgment if you never knew about Jesus. If you never heard about the gospel. But now that you have heard the truth, you have met Jesus. And in fact, some of you are even ministers. You are servants of God. You are working for Jesus. You are in trouble if you don't follow that Jesus correctly. I'm telling you, you are in great trouble. If you don't follow this Jesus that you have known, this Jesus that have saved your soul, if you don't follow him correctly and obey him and serve him correctly and please him, my brothers and sisters, you are in great trouble. Yeah, because if you fall, if this stumbling stone, which is evil, if you fall by this stumbling stone, your destruction will be too great. In fact, where the demons will take you to in hell to deal with you is going to be hotter than where they will take someone that didn't know much about Jesus or didn't know Jesus at all. I don't know if I get my point. The path in hellfire that you will be taken to for torment will be deeper and hotter and more terrible than the part where someone who perhaps did not hear much about Jesus. Now let's move to point number two. Point number one again is Jesus, a great stumbling block. Point point number two is Jesus attesting stone. Attesting stone. That is a stone that tests people. I don't know if you understand that. A testing stone. That is a stone that puts people to test. Yeah, that's what I mean by a testing stone. A stone that puts people to test. Now let's look at Matthew 21. Verse 42 to 44. Matthew 21. Matthew 21, 42 to 44. Let me quickly read. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Jesus, the testing stone. Now, let's look at Isaiah 53 again, because that is our major text. Isaiah 53. Now, I'm going to read verse 2. Isaiah 53. For he shall grow up before him and a tender plant, and the roots out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Yeah, so Jesus is coming in a way that, or Jesus came in a way, and is coming to us today in a way that we would not even desire him. Now, maybe some of you have been waiting on God, waiting that God will visit you, waiting that God will change your life, and then you are expecting that God will come to you in a way that will be so obvious that he's the one. Well, maybe that's not how he wants to visit you. Yeah, so Jesus does not always come in a way that we want. Yeah. So maybe the day Jesus told you, or let me say, maybe the day the Holy Spirit told you that it's been a while you have studied the Bible. Why not carry your Bible and study? And then you felt like, I need to finish watching this movie. Or you felt like, I don't have time for that. Maybe Jesus was going to visit you the moment you start studying that Bible. Maybe maybe he was going to visit you through that pipe. Yeah. So Jesus will not always come in a way that we die. He will always come in a way that you have to be a selfless person to identify that Jesus is here. Yeah, and to embrace him. He will always come in a way that you have to be in the spirit and not in the flesh to recognize him. Yeah. There are some people who felt like this particular church is not, it's not popular. In fact, the man of God is not popular. Nobody even know him. I don't think I can find Jesus in this church. Let me go to that popular church. Yeah, let me go to that ministry that is well known. I'm sure Jesus is in that place. Let me go to that church where miracles are always happening every day. I'm sure Jesus is in that place. So they will their Bibles, their family members, and they will go to that church. Yeah, some they will even go for up to 5 years. But what they were looking for, they never got one. Yeah, why? Because Jesus was not waiting for them in that church. And that doesn't mean Jesus is not in that church. Yeah, but Jesus wants to show them that you have to humble yourself to find me. Yeah, that is what Jesus is showing in that case. Yeah, maybe you look at the man of God, you feel like he doesn't even have money. If this is a man of God, he should be riding a beautiful car. He should be living in a beautiful house. Look at this man of God. He doesn't even have money. He doesn't even have much members. How can this person be anointed? How can this person have the solution to my problem? And maybe Jesus is with that man of God to help you. But because of your high-mindedness, because you did not humble yourself, you lost the encounter you would have gotten through that man of God. Yeah. So my point is that Jesus is a testing stone. Yeah. He is going to test you. Even as you are coming closer to him, he's testing your heart. In your soul to see if you deserve him or not. There are people that I know that for the next 10 years, Jesus will never help them. Yeah, and I can't even tell them that, brother, Jesus will never help you if you continue to pray for the next 10 years. Well, I know Jesus will never help them. Why? Because Jesus is testing them and they keep failing the test. Jesus kept on testing them and they keep failing the test. He kept on testing them. They keep failing. So until they pass that test, Jesus will not bless them. I pray that the Lord give you more understanding. We don't have much time because we are still going to pray. Now, point number 3. Understanding Jesus' humility. Understanding Jesus' humility. Don't forget that the topic says understanding Jesus in Isaiah 53. So So point number three says understanding Jesus' humility. If you read Philippians chapter 2, Philippians 2, Philippians 2 from verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Yeah. The humility of Jesus is the greatest humility ever. Because he being so highly exalted decided to come in the form of a servant, in the form of a slave. Yeah, Jesus decided to come in a form that is very low. So imagine the highest person coming as the lowest. Do you know what it means to be in the highest? Yeah. You know what it means to be in the highest? And then to have to come as the lowest. Or to have to become the lowest because you want to save the people you created. So he had to come down to the lowest. That is the greatest humility ever. If you have ever been in a very high place, you will know that it's not easy to come low if you have been highly placed. It takes the help of God to come low. I mean, the world is full of many highly placed people who can never humble themselves. Yeah, but Jesus humbled himself to show us that. Life is not in being full of yourself. Life is not in being full of self or in being selfish or in life is not in exalting yourself. Yeah, Jesus showed us that real life is in being selfless. That's where real life is. Yeah. Yeah, if somebody like me, if I decide to exalt myself, I'm going to attract some kind of people that are not here to be. Some kind of people will be attracted to my ministry that are not here to be. Yeah, if I decide to exalt myself, because those people, they will only be interested in my ministry if I promote myself. Yeah. So, when you attracted, you will attract people like you. Proud people. You will attract. But when you bring down yourself, you will also attract people like you that are humble. Yeah. So that is why Jesus' ministry was attracting poor people. Now, if Jesus had exalted himself as he is, a lot of rich people, a lot of people in top places who will be coming to him, or would have been part of his ministry then. But he did not. Yeah, so we need to understand Jesus' humility and how that humility is still evident in the church today. Yeah. So you must humble yourself to see Jesus, to draw closer to Jesus, or you will not even see him at all. Yeah. If you're asking Jesus for a miracle and he has not yet released that miracle, humble yourself. Don't feel like all this while I've been expecting a miracle and I've not seen any. And then you start losing interest in following Jesus, in continuing to follow Jesus. Repent today and humble yourself. Yeah, Jesus has the power to do the miracle you have been asking for. But if he's not doing that first, let him do the ones he wants to do first. There is always something Jesus is doing in your life. But most cases, it's not what you are asking him to do. So that's one that he's doing. Maybe he's building your faith, he's teaching your faith. Let him do that. Maybe he's teaching you strength. Let him do that. Maybe he's training you to become a warrior. Let him do that. Yeah, the fact that he has not done what you want him to do, it don't make you to become full of yourself and then draw far from him. Now let's go to the last point. Point number 4. The strongest appearing as weak. Yeah. The Jesus that we saw in Isaiah 43 is the strongest appearing as the weak. And so weak. Yeah, that's the Jesus revealed to us in Isaiah 53. The strongest appearing as weak. Now let's look at Isaiah 53 verse 2. Isaiah 53 verse 2. Shall grow up before him as a tender plant. Yeah, that is it. A tender plant as a symbol of weakness and as a root out of a dry ground. Yeah. You know that it is difficult for your roots to really go down in a dry ground. You know, roots, they go down. You go deep down. Yeah, what again? The ground is not comfortable. Yeah, for your root to go very deep down, the ground must be soft. The ground must be wet. Yeah, but here, the roots out of a dry ground. Yeah. But Jesus chose a very difficult life. Yeah. He chose a weak life. Even though he's the strongest. What is he? He chose a weak life. He chose to be weak. Yeah, he chose to be weak. So what can we learn from that? If you look at what the Bible says when Apostle Paul was saying, God have chosen the weak things. Let me read in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 27. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Yeah, so from the life of Jesus, we can see that God seems to have a special interest in weak things. Yeah, because even Jesus was made weak. Why? So that God can demonstrate the greatness of his strength. Yeah. And so that many of you don't like to be weak. But it's a great treasure if you are weak. Because your weakness is always an opportunity to witness a miracle. Have you thought of that? Your weakness is always an opportunity for you to witness another miracle from God. Yeah. Initially, I always feel very uncomfortable with weakness. Yeah, because I hate weakness. Yeah. But when I realize that God is not going to stop allowing me to be weak, then I now start learning that this weak, my weakness is actually a great treasure. Yeah. And eventually I become comfortable with weakness. Because every time I am weak, I'm the strongest. Yeah, because the kind of great things I would do in that weakness, even people that are strong cannot do that. Yeah. But that is when I will pray more. When I'm weak, that is when I get more victory in spiritual warfare. What I mean by weakness is when you feel so weak in your body. But now, that in peace. Or perhaps you feel weak in your finances. You seem to always not have enough money to get to get your daily needs. That weakness is a treasure. Yeah. So witness is when you are physically unable to do something that requires a lot of physical strength. Yeah, that is weakness. Or when you are mentally unable, that is in your mind, you're unable to achieve something that requires your mind to be strong. Yeah. So that is weakness. When your body and mind is in a state that is unable to achieve things that can only be achieved when your mind and body are strong. Yeah, that is weakness. But now I'm telling you that weakness is a treasure. Why? Because it's always an opportunity for God to manifest the greatness of His strength. Now, I as a person, I like weakness. Why? Because every time I am weak, I never end in weakness. Yeah. Every time I am weak, I always end in strength. I mean, the weakness always leads me into strength. So there are many times I lead midnight prayer sessions that I don't even have the strength to do that. Yeah. But I just lead. Many of you would not even know that I didn't have the strength to lead the prayer session. But everything would just flow perfectly. In fact, that might even be one of the powerful prayer sessions ever. Yeah. So you should be happy when you are weak, because it's an opportunity to witness a miracle. Now the problem is you accepting that witness, accepting that you are weak. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Yeah. So when you accept the weakness, that is when it becomes a problem. And that is when you die spiritually and you become defeated by your enemies. Yeah. But when you don't accept that you are weak, even while you are feeling weak, then the strength of God in that weakness will emerge. And then you are going to witness a miracle. So my lifestyle of taking pleasure in weakness have made me one of the persons in the world that have experienced a lot of miracles. I can't even number how many miracles I have personally experienced. Why? Because when I am weak, I don't agree that I am weak. I will continue in prayer, continue in beholding God, in seeking God, until I enter into strength. Now, and not that I enter into the realm of strength, God will make me weak again. God is going to make me to be weak again so that I can also apply the same faith and enter into strength again. So I'm always moving from weakness to strength, weakness, strength, weakness, strength, weakness, strength, yeah, up to now. Yeah, but even in weakness, I don't lose battles because I don't accept that I am weak. Yeah, so some people, they say, I fall into sin because that is my weakness. It's a lie. The fact that you are weak doesn't mean you should fall into sin. Yeah. But there is strength in your weakness to make you overcome temptations and sin. So the fact that you feel tempted doesn't mean you should fall into the temptation. There's a difference between being tempted and falling into the temptation. It's a two different things. is not the same. Yeah. So the fact that you feel the temptation doesn't mean you should fall into the temptation. Yeah. So the fact that we feel weakness doesn't mean we are weak. We are not weak. Yeah, I'm not weak. But I feel weak many times. And I'm happy about that. But every time I feel weak, it means I'm about to experience another miracle. And what miracle am I talking about here? The miracle of supernatural strength. Strength from nowhere. We just emerge. I'm going to stop here. We are going to pray now. Just three prayer points. We are going to pray, and then I'm going to pray for you and also pray on your water. At the first prayer point, you are going to talk to the Lord. You're going to say, Lord Jesus, I understand that you are a stumbling block. Please don't let me stumble by you. You're going to say, Lord Jesus, I understand that you are a stumbling block. Please don't let me stumble by you. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. If you think you know Jesus, have you known him as a stumbling block? Do you know him as a stumbling block? Say, Lord Jesus, don't let me stumble by you. Yeah, Jesus can be smiling to you, but he have already judged you. He can be smiling at you and then you have no place again in his kingdom, but yet he's smiling. Is that not a stumbling block? Have you not stumbled already? Mr. Jesus, to show you mercy. If you have stumbled, the Lord Jesus, lift me up. If I've already fallen in my relationship with you, my walk with you, if I've already fallen and I thought I have not, I thought I'm good with you, I thought all is well, whereas all is not well, the Lord Jesus, please, lift me up. Correct me. Correct me now. Yeah, in this generation, what many people are saying is a smiling Jesus, a smiling God. He's always smiling at them. I pity them. Because that smiling God have already condemned them out of his kingdom. He have already judged them out of his kingdom. They have no place with him anymore, but yet he's smiling at them. I pray that he will not smile at you when you are falling. Say, Lord Jesus, don't smile at me when I have fallen. Correct me. This generation. The Lord Jesus, correct me. Lift me home if I have fallen. The Lord Jesus, don't let me stumble by you. Deal with me. deal with me according to your righteousness. Show me where I have fallen if I don't already know. Show me where I have failed you if I don't already know. Correct me now before it is too late. The Lord Jesus, help me to live by you and not fall by you. The Lord Jesus, don't smile at me when I am wrong. Hold me. Rebuke me. Excuse me. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. We have two more prayer points. We talked about Jesus as a testing stone. And we say, Lord Jesus, do not let me fail whenever you are testing me. Do not let me fail God's test. Give me a heart that does not fail God's test. Open your mouth and pray. Say, Lord Jesus, give me a heart that does not fail God's test. When you are testing for my love, testing for my faith and trust in you, Lord Jesus, give me a heart that does not fail those tests. A lot of Christians fail God's test. And that is why they are still at the same, they remain in the level they are. They have been failing God's test. Lord Jesus, don't allow me to fail God's test. Give me a new heart that does not fail God's test. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Then the last prayer point, you're going to place your right hand on your head. Place your right hand on your head. And you're going to say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that you great strength in the midst of weakness. The Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that you are a great strength in the midst of weakness. Arise in my weaknesses. Make me strong. Make me an overcomer. Open your mouth and pray like that. The Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that you are a great strength in the midst of weaknesses. The Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that you are a great strength in the midst of weaknesses. Arise in the midst of my weaknesses and make me an overcomer. me strong. Lord Jesus, turn my weaknesses into strength. Do not allow me to be enslaved by my weaknesses. Do not allow allow my weaknesses to enslave me. Do not allow my weaknesses to limit my progress. Do not allow my weaknesses to terminate the fulfillment of my calling and destiny. The Lord Jesus, arise in the midst of my weaknesses and make me stronger than the weakness. Make me prevail over my enemies. Make me overcome. In the name of Jesus. Sickness is a weakness. The Lord Jesus, arise in the midst of my sickness and make me stronger than the sickness. Make me stronger to the point where my strength destroys the sickness. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, your body can heal itself. Do you know that? Natural, because the strength of Jesus is in the midst of your sickness. Then the midst is inside your sickness, inside your disease. Jesus is inside. So once the strength arrives, the sickness will go. Say, Lord Jesus, arise in the midst of my weakness and sickness. Till my weakness is gone. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I'm going to pray for you now. And I'm going to pray on your water as well, I believe. You have gotten your water ready. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this hour of prayer and of hearing your word. Thank you for your grace that is always sufficient. Thank you for your strength that is in the midst of weaknesses. Thank you for your healing that is in the midst of sicknesses and diseases. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for great plans you have for everyone that is here. Thank you because in this new year, everyone here shall not be slaves to sicknesses and diseases and satanic attacks. Thank you, Lord, because in this new year, everyone here shall not always be looking for healing. because they shall be in health. And not only that, you shall use them to minister healing to sick people out there. Thank you for these great plans you have for all of us. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that you make your people doers of your word and not hearers alone. Father, we have spent this time in your presence to learn these important things. Lord, I don't want this teaching to be a waste. I ask that you create in everyone here an obedient heart that always knew the word of God. An obedient heart that does not only hear, but does the word. I pray that you receive such hearts right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, receive such thoughts right now. In Jesus' name, I pray on the water you have brought to the Lord's presence. Let the healing power of Jesus enter into the water right now. Jesus' name, let the delivering power of Jesus, the power of Jesus that does complete deliverance, let it enter into the water right now. In the name of Jesus, I decree that the Lord shall walk through this water to get rid of suffering from your body and soul and spirit. In Jesus' name, the Lord shall walk through this water to get rid of scorpions and afflictions and torment and pains and witchcraft arrows from your body, soul, and spirit. In Jesus' name, the fire of God shall walk through this water to give you deliverance from satanic bodies, satanic yokes, and satanic pains. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, I have prayed.